And I think genetic improvement overall is a very cool tool for farmers, and not only for farmers, for mankind. Because what can we do with genetics? We can basically try to make the plant itself better suited to our conditions. No need to add extra resources.
Hi, it's Germination editor Mark Zinkowitz. That's Herman Burstmeier you just heard. He's a professor in wheat breeding at the University of Natural Resources and Life Sciences in Vienna, Austria. He's also the chair of the International Organizing Committee for the upcoming First International Wheat Congress. The Congress will be held July 21 to 26, 2019 in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I originally did this interview in Winnipeg, Manitoba in late 2018 during the Canadian workshop on Fusarium head blight. It hasn't hit the airwaves until now, so I thought it would be a great opportunity to introduce Herman's work and get the word out about the first International Wheat Congress, which I will be attending on behalf of Germination. You can find info on the event at 2019iwc.ca. Here's my interview with Herman.
My name is Hermann Burstmeier, and I'm professor for plant breeding at the University of Agricultural Sciences in Vienna, Austria. I like to go to Canada. I've been here a few times, and I always enjoyed my stay here. My profession or my work is basically teaching plant breeding and doing research in plant breeding. And in terms of research, my team focuses since many years on quantitative disease resistance, particularly fusarium resistance. And yeah, we're well aware that this is a problem not only relevant in Europe, but in many, many parts of the world. And Canada is one of the hotspots of fusarium research because it's a damaging disease in Canada and this part of the world as well. We think that, and this is well acknowledged, that one of the major control measures for fusarium control is genetic resistance, among others. So, of course, it's a disease like many other plant diseases are best controlled by integrated control measures, combining different tools and different measures like agronomy, like crop protection, and, of course, genetic resistance. But particularly for fusarium, this disease is more difficult to control with fungicides. It's more difficult to control with agronomic measures. So basically, a major role of control has to come from resistant cultivars. And yeah, and I and my team have quite a bit of work done in this field. And I think that's always interesting to share our results with Canadian results and see where to go next from our current knowledge and do the next steps, because one of the difficult things to achieve resistance is first it's purely quantitative, so we do not see major resistances. That means, like for other diseases where we can employ large effect genes and a combination of one or two genes gives complete control, this doesn't work with fusarium. So we always need many genes at the same time, and then it becomes a numbers game. I mean, that's what breeders know about, is as soon as you have to combine many traits, and each of these traits is governed by many genes, you quickly end up with a numbers game. And so that, on the other hand, in other words, means that you're always making slow incremental progress only. But yeah, working on this, trying to speed up the cycles we need to make these small steps forward, this is one of the projects where we are working on and where we have visions and how we have ideas how to get faster to incrementally increased resistances in cultivars farmers will like. Because it's not only this one disease. Of course, if you can work on just one trait, you can solve this trait quickly. But you are always, of course, particularly in Canada, where quality is such an important issue. You cannot just breed for high resistance and forget about quality, for instance, because this will not be accepted by the farmers and by the market. So you have to bring those things always in a package, in a combined, in an overall good variety. So these difficulties we discuss here and we work in my team on, and Canadian colleagues work here, and we can learn a lot from each other.
Well, that's something that is being talked about more now. I was in California last week for the Cucurbitaceae 2018 conference. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk about bringing the flavor back into melons, for example, mm-hmm. cantaloupe, because yeah. as we've bred for yield and resistance right. and all these things, there's been some mm-hmm. loss of flavor, for example. Mm-hmm. So the consumer wants something that tastes better. The discussion is about how do we breed new varieties that are easy to grow, but also have better flavor. Mm-hmm. That's really the challenge, because as you breed for all those things, yield and everything else, sometimes mm-hmm. you can lose the quality aspect. Mm-hmm. So is that sort of a conversation that is happening more for you now as well?
We hear about this conversation also from the wheat side, though possibly it's not that much in the focus like for vegetables. But yes, it's discussed. It's a topic of public concern. And sometimes, I guess it's in Canada, maybe similar as it is in my country, there is some public feeling or that the old cultivars tasted better than the new ones, as you mentioned. Maybe they have been bred for yield only and quality traits were left behind. And this is currently actually on the agenda, and it's on the research agenda as well, though we don't have hard data yet to what extent have we lost or have we selected unintendedly, of course, maybe against flavor. We always keep on selecting for quality in terms of good bread-making properties, for instance. That's so essential. And as far as I know about studies on bread flavor and flour quality in this respect, I'm not sure how it's in Canada, but in my home country, much of the flavor in our bread is from adding spices, like coriander and other things. So I guess even in the past, much of the flavor came from additives rather than from the wheat flour itself. But yeah, we discuss it, we think about it. There's even studies ongoing to try to compare different cultivars, old versus new, and see if you find an intrinsic flavor difference. But it's yet under discussion, and I think no final conclusions yet. But we're well aware of this problem, yes.
How did you get into this line of work? How did you start out, and how did that bring you to where you are today? Can you give me the 411 on that?
Well, I'm a farmer's boy, so I grew up on a farm, so I'm very much aware of farmers' needs. And this led me to go for a career in agricultural sciences, so I studied. And then basically it was my wife who inspired me to more think about genetics and breeding. So we were student colleagues at university. We met there, and she always had a passion for breeding. And I picked it up from her, actually, and I really got inspired, and I liked it a lot. And still now, we still work together. So she's one of my colleagues in my institute, and she, we still cooperate in plant breeding, and I enjoy this very much. And I think genetic improvement overall is a very cool tool for farmers, and not only for farmers, for mankind, because what can we do with genetics? We can basically try to make the plant itself better suited to our conditions. No need to add extra resources. So just it's a very efficient way to increase resource efficiency for all resources that we add, be it fertilizer, be it unit of land, be it water. A more productive cultivar, a better quality cultivar, means it uses the available resources better than a less improved cultivar. So I think genetic improvement on the long run has played a key role in getting enough food and feed for mankind on this planet, and it will continue this role. Because if you look at all the other resources that we put in, most of them are from non-renewable resources, like nitrogen fertilizer basically is energy. And it gets more expensive, and it's damaging to the environment to some extent. While an improved cultivar is virtually neutral to the environment, it's even positive because it makes use of the available resources better than a less productive cultivar. So on the long run, I think breeding and improvement through genetics will increase in importance relative to other input factors that we use in agriculture. That's why I like it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you very much.